Our sermon today is based on a reading from Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Gideon answered him, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." He responded, "But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." Thank you, wonderful God, for all the wonderful things you do for us. We've all grown up hearing stories from our grandparents and parents, our family history handed down from generation to generation. Do you ever tell your children or your grandchildren about your school days? How every day you had to walk uphill 2 miles in the snow, barefoot, to get to school? Do your kids or your grandkids groan when you start in on your stories? But you know how important it is to pass on the life lessons and lore you've accumulated over the years, so you keep telling the stories despite the groans and the eye rolls. There are so many wonderful things we want and need to pass down to the younger generations, but sometimes they don't want to listen to or believe our stories. They get tired of hearing us talk about the good old days and wonder why all that great stuff doesn't happen nowadays. Gideon was kind of like that. He was an obscure farmer trying to thresh his wheat in an unusual way and in an unusual place. At the time, the people of Israel were living in the land of Midian, and they were being severely persecuted by the Midianites. The people of Israel had to hide out in the mountains and in caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites sowed seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come and destroy the produce of the land, even taking their sheep, oxen, and donkeys. They devastated the land, leaving Israel destitute, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Gideon was probably brooding over the situation as he tried to thresh out enough wheat to feed his family. Look at this. What is this? Barely enough barley to get by. Gideon was having a private pity party. Strangely enough, when the angel appeared to him, Gideon didn't seem to bat an eye. He was so fixated on the harsh existence the Midianites forced on him and his people that all he could do when the angel greeted him was scoff. "Yeah, right. It sure doesn't feel like the Lord is with us." Notice the angel said, "The Lord is with you," but Gideon amended it to "us." If the Lord is with us, why is all this terrible stuff happening to us? Not just to Gideon, but to all his people. It's nice to note that community lamentation, this sad state of affairs, affects us all, not just me, Gideon, threshing out a meager stalk or two of wheat. We're all in this together. Surely Gideon had grown up hearing about the wonderful things God had done for Israel in the past. He knew the stories of Israel's rescue from Egypt. The ancestors told the stories over and over, handing them down to the next generation and trusting them to keep telling them. And sure, the stories did sound as far-fetched as our stories of a daily 2 mile hike to school in the snow barefoot, plagues of locusts and frogs and rivers turned into blood, an entire sea parting and all the people walking to the other side on dry ground barefoot, a pillar of fire and cloud leading the people, God sending manna and water from a rock. I don't think Gideon disbelieved the stories. They were fantastic. The miracles were wonderful. So why didn't God do the same kind of thing now when Israel was once again trapped and miserable? We all feel like Gideon now and then. Why isn't God doing the wonderful kinds of things God did in the past? How come we don't get a burning bush? There was a tinge of doubt in Gideon's reply. Could God still do the wonderful deeds God did in the past? And if God could do them, why didn't God do them? Perhaps Gideon didn't know about the prophet the Lord sent to the Israelites, who told them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not given heed to my voice." There was the distinct reason why God had not done wonderful deeds for the Israelites in Midian. Israel had disobeyed God and hadn't listened to God's commands. Whenever we don't see wonders, we have to ask ourselves, are we ignoring and neglecting God? However, God was about to do a new thing, more different and wonderful deeds. And guess what, Gideon? You're going to be part of them. You're going to be someone about whom the next generations will sing, and your feats will be the wonderful deeds that your children and your children's children and your children's children's children will remember and celebrate. Again, the tinge of doubt surfaced in Gideon's reply. How can God use me to do wonderful deeds? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, one of the smallest tribes in Israel, and I am the least in my family. How can I deliver Israel? Sometimes you are the answer to your own question. Sometimes, just as Gideon was about to find out, you are the one to do wonderful deeds, even though you may have been expecting and even hoping that someone else would be called to do them. Gideon believed in the God of the past, but he didn't believe in himself as someone God could use at this present time. Mighty warrior indeed. Here I am hiding out from the Midianites. That's mighty, all right. That's what a warrior does, all right. Perhaps part of Gideon's desire was that God would do the same stuff as in the past. Perhaps Gideon felt God wouldn't do something new and wonderful and exciting, and certainly not with him. But the Lord made a promise. I will be with you, Gideon, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful? No more Midianites. No more hiding out in caves. What the people planted would grow. No one would come in and steal their livestock anymore. Yes, that would be wonderful. How are you going to do that, God? Gideon didn't see himself as a hero. Gideon didn't wholeheartedly believe God was going to do something wonderful through him. But Gideon was precisely the kind of person God often called to get wonderful things done. Someone who saw themselves as weak and wavering, unworthy and unprepared. Someone who wondered, how could God ever use me? So Gideon devised a test. Gideon said to God, in order to see whether you will deliver Israel by my hand, as you have said, I'm going to lay a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will deliver Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it happened just like that. When Gideon rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from it to fill a bowl with water. That was pretty wonderful, wasn't it? But Gideon wasn't fully convinced. He needed more proof. He said to God, do not let your anger burn against me, but let me speak one more time. Let me please make trial with the fleece just once more. Let it be dry only on the fleece, and on all the ground around let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. That was the sign Gideon needed. God was showing him the wonders were about to start again. He didn't question God anymore. Gideon girded on his sword, called together his fellow Israelites, and went forth into battle. And wonder of wonders, the Israelites, only 300 of them, set out against the Midianites and won a great decisive victory. From disdain to doubt to domination, Gideon did indeed become an Israelite folk hero whose story and whose wonderful deeds were told and retold. What's my point? Well, sometimes when we're caught lamenting and doubting that God is going to do something wonderful again, sometimes God decides we're going to be the ones to do the wonderful deeds that will make true believers out of us, as Gideon's work did for him. We can fling to God our desperate desire to have good, wonderful things happen, things too wonderful to be believed, but we should not at all be surprised if God says to us, "You want something wonderful to happen? Then let me use you to make it happen." Do you remember a sermon I did on being somebody else? Wanting something wonderful, but wanting it to be done by somebody else? We are all the somebody else we're waiting for. Like Gideon, we should never forget the wonderful things God has done. We should never wonder if God has run out of wonders. We should tell our children and our children's children and our children's children's children about the wonderful deeds God has done. Not only the ancient deeds like those we read about in the Bible, but the wonderful deeds God has done and is doing in the here and now. Come on, surely there are some wonderful deeds that God has done that leaves you in awe. Surely there are some wonderful deeds God has done for you that left you breathless and believing. Collect them, respect them, polish them up like precious jewels that you will hand down to your children as their inheritance, as their legacy. And never be surprised if and when God appears to you and says, "Come on, let's do something wonderful together." What will you say? I hope it will be a resounding, "Yes, God, let's." Remember the wonderful deeds God has done in the past and know they can and will happen again. And you can be part of the new wonderful deeds of God. Isn't that wonderful? Let us pray. God, thank you for the wonderful deeds you have done in the past and the wonderful deeds you are doing even now among us. We open ourselves, God, to be like Gideon, ready and willing to let you lead us and guide us and work with us to do wonderful deeds. You give us the same promise you gave Gideon, that you will always be with us. And for that, we are grateful, humbled, and empowered. Amen.
See thee first, Lord King.